I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinevo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community, and you know I think it's a treat and I think it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haza.
Jesus with skin on, Hallie. How are you?
I am so blessed. How are you, Gray?
Hallie, I have had an amazing week with my teens in Climax. You know, we are doing a series called Warriors, and that is just where we teach about great Christian heroes that secular culture refuses to acknowledge.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, like, it's really good. Well, we did Tim Tebow.
Oh, he's so awesome.
He's awesome.
He's the football player who kneels down.
Oh, yeah. They tried to kick him out of the league for praying.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers. Mm. And, you know, they tried to kick him out for, you know, just speaking the truth.
For being so awesome.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
Melania Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did we do? Vladimir Putin. There was this woman we did who's on Twitter. She's at Jesus USA 21. Just really, you know, out there being a warrior for Christ. We did Eric Estrada.
From Chips? I didn't know he was a Christian.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know he was either, but it just seems like he would be, you know.
You know, he has those Christian eyes.
Right, he's got the look.
Kind eyes.
But, you know, Hallie, it is week two of my year of dating biblically, and I have started a new project with some of the guys in the group who've sort of joined me in my cause, you know, and we started a band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
what's it called?
The band?
Yeah.
It's called Into Him.
Into Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Like Into Him, like H-I-M, him?
No, Hallie, like H-Y-M-N.
Oh, cool. That's great. So what do? Do you like covers? Are you a cover band? Do you do your own songs?
No, Hallie, we are writing all our own original stuff.
Cool.
Let's see. We've got On My Knees For You. That's kind of like a hard rock type thing. We've got Praise the Day Is Long, which is kind of a ballad. I love that. And then we've got, you know, we've got a club track, the Apostle Posse. That's kind of like the Super Bowl shuffle, you know, that the kids would dance to in the club. And then I did, you know, Hallie, I had to go out on a limb and I did this whole thing called the J-Hat Suite, which is where I really just air the grievances about, you know, my relationship that I had to leave. Just, it's five diss tracks that are about 10 minutes long each. I just really had to go off.
About Jen Hatmaker?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I loved her.
Yeah, you know, I know, Hallie, but it was one of those things where I just had to walk away, you know. I had to save myself because, you know, I think the relationship was just eating me alive. So, yeah.
So are those diss songs, are they raps? Is it rap music? Well,
yeah, it's like rap rock. You know, it's like you can think, you know, Skillet meets Kid Rock.
Oh, so Skillet.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's right. Hey, how are you, Hallie?
Oh, I've been doing so well, but I had a little drama this week. I don't know if I've ever told you I volunteer in the marriage ministry.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. So you're just doubling down, you know, working here and volunteering. That's a lot.
I know. I'm on staff and I'm also a volunteer because I just have such a passion for Christ-centered marriages.
Don't we all? And God, you know, you're going to get honored for serving as a vocation and a volunteer.
That's what I figured. I'd like to please my Heavenly Father every which way I can. And you know what? I am so lucky that I have a godly marriage that I'm in that honors my Heavenly Father.
Oh, totally. Lance LeBont in the house.
Yes, my husband,
Jesus.
Lance LeBont.
I'm sorry. Lance LeBont in the How did they say it? Hizzy? I don't know.
I think they say Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I have a godly marriage because I was a virgin when I got married. I had kids because that's what a Christian wife does. And I don't expect much from my husband. So I figured I could share all this awesome wisdom that I have gained about how to be in a Christ-centered relationship with others.
Oh, cool.
So anywho, you know, the marriage ministry, we just got rocked this week because some girl tweeted something about the five love languages.
Oh, no. Someone has the gall to go after awesome Christian author Gary Chapman?
I know. He wrote a book in 1992 about how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate, and Christians have been using it for decades now to be, you know, better spouses and consecrate their marriages because the God of the Bible is just wild about happy, healthy marriage.
Absolutely.
And it's a passion of mine because I get so much joy from my marriage.
Totally.
Anyway, in the marriage ministry here at Twin Hills, the Five Love Languages book and the blog are all we use to help people stay in their marriages that they want out of.
Well, wait, you know, what are the five love languages? I can never really remember them.
Oh, it's quality time,
okay.
Giving gifts,
right.
Sweat equity,
okay.
Apology, serving your man,
oh, right.
And food.
Oh, awesome. Love that.
Yeah. So anyway, this girl who used to work for Gary Chapman, she did a tweet this week and it just exploded on the internet and all these couples in our ministry are in an uproar.
Really? What did she say?
I have a screenshot of the tweet. I'll read it to you. If your relationship didn't work out and you're like, but I read the Five Love Languages blog, that's because I was the intern for Gary Chapman when I was 21 and I was an alcoholic Christian virgin blogging on behalf of him while he golfed. So sorry about your marriage.
Oh, no.
I know. Everybody was like, I've based my whole life on this thing and it was written by an uneducated, unaccredited virgin who knows nothing about modern life. And I says, bite your tongue. The Bible was written by uneducated, unaccredited virgins who knew nothing about modern life because God can use anyone.
But she was an alcoholic.
But that's really only the only thing I can see wrong with that tweet.
Well, you know, Hallie, God can work through alcoholics too. I mean, you know, look at Noah. Look at Mark Driscoll.
Oh, was Mark Driscoll an alcoholic at Mars Hill?
I mean, he's pretty loud and sloppy, you know. Seems like it.
Well, either way, I just don't think this discredits her because, you know, the two most important things that she said is that she was a Christian and she was a virgin. And being a Christian is an awesome credit, and so is being a virgin.
Also like Mark Driscoll.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like the Bible says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, our guest today is somewhat of a sitting expert. It's the Twin Hills chair guy, Al Burney. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to everybody.
It is so nice to be sitting with you, and I mean that. Because nobody sits around here without you. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, I guess I was hired on as facilities manager, and you know, it's a big space, and we realized we needed some more help, and kind of got balkanized. And you know, now I'm in charge of the chairs,
right?
The physical chairs around the space.
Oh, so you are just chairs,
beanbags, stools. Yeah, that's me.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. You're kind of known as the chair guy to all the staff, and mm-hmm. You know, but obviously you don't really work in the main auditorium because those are sort of those plush chairs that are like theatrical chairs that, you know, they're all sort of locked in.
Right, they're like theater chairs.
Are you more like loose chairs and stackable chairs?
Yeah, mainly just sort of anytime you see a chair that isn't bolted down that space. So, for instance, in like the blue multi-purpose room, I'm in charge of the upkeep and the takedown of those chairs. And then in the green multi-purpose room, I'm in charge of the upkeep and the stacking of those chairs. And the yellow multi-purpose room, in that one, I'm in charge of those chairs.
Well, just to move us off chairs for a second, because I don't know if there's much there. But I was just wondering if what did you do before you got so into chairs?
I was a merchant marine for a little bit. People all over the world, they just sit in different types of chairs. And you go to one place and it's like, that's like a wicker chair. And then you go to another place, it's a totally different chair. They all serve the same function. Yeah, I traveled the whole world. There's not a corner of this world that I haven't seen or at least thought about.
Oh, and that is so great. And it's amazing how chairs even made its way, you know, onto the high seas where you would really think that chairs wouldn't be a big part of that. But you somehow
Tell you a funny story. I knew a guy. His name is Eugene. And we're on a ship. And where were we? I think we're in the Mediterranean or so. Oceans. And we're sailing somewhere. And he had this chair that he liked. And it was like an office chair, like the one I'm sitting in. It had wheels on the side. But you're on a boat, right? And I'm like, Eugene, the chair isn't right for the thing. He's like, stop it. Stop talking about the chairs. We're together for 9 months. No one else. You can't keep talking about chairs. And I was like, Eugene, I'm just telling you right now, a squall's going to come in. You're going to regret that chair. And I was proven right because this wave hit the side of the ship. And Eugene just, he was gone.
Oh, really?
He just the wheels just took him away. Anyway, when he went over and I was like, Eugene, hey, I tried to warn him, you know. And that's just a funny thing I think about.
Yeah, you don't even think of an office chair being on the deck of a ship, I guess, even.
Yeah, well, Eugene was like that. Wow. He was kind of a bit of a goofball, and, you know, we miss him.
Well, speaking of multicultural chairs and that you've traveled the world, it made me think about the Holy Land. When I went on a trip to the Holy Land to try to get closer to Jesus, I was very struck by the fact that they use chairs a lot differently over there. Sometimes you're down sort of on the floor sitting at a table. It's more like just a floor cushion.
Yeah.
I know they talk about like in the Last Supper with Jesus, a lot of times he and the disciples would recline after they were eating, almost like they weren't sitting at a table with chairs. And I wonder what that really does tell us about the Lord.
You know, I have to assume all-knowing, all-good being up there has to understand. He wouldn't have given us chairs if he didn't want us to use them in every possible way. And he inspired whoever the first lucky person to come up with a couple of legs and a seat in the back. He inspired that person, and now we get to have this thing. That's one of the reasons I just really want to hit this NPR multi-purpose room thing here. Those are gifts to us. and we're not stacking them right, and they could just fall over. They could hurt someone. They get scuffed.
Yeah.
They get scuffed and they don't look right. And then I get yelled at. I get reamed out because of the scuff chairs. You know, I see it as an affront to him.
Yeah.
Right.
You take pride in your job. I like that.
I take pride in my job. Maybe everyone doesn't see it that way. It's pretty clear to me.
And so, you know, Al, I did want to... I am married.
Technically.
Oh, wow.
It's 10 years when they can officially say, oh, okay, she's not coming back.
Oh.
So I'm technically still married because I don't know where she is. I don't know where she went.
Really?
And that was 8 years ago. So I got 2 more years.
Oh. And are you looking for her?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to look for her. The problem is, and I don't want to keep harping on it, this chair thing's 20 hours a day.
Oh, my goodness.
There's so many rooms at the church. I sleep 3 hours. I eat for 1 hour, not all at once. And then for 20 hours a day, I'm working on these chairs.
Wow. Man, you look tired.
I'm stacking the chairs. I'm moving them around. I'm exhausted all the time. And so when my wife went missing, I was like, that's it. I'm going to find her. I'm going to do everything in my power to find her, but I just haven't had the time.
Oh, so she's missing?
To do it.
She went missing.
Yeah, she's missing.
I'm going to put that on the top of my prayer list, Al.
Please do.
I'm so sorry to hear. Okay.
About how many chairs do we have here?
Oh, gosh. Well, my goodness. Not counting the bolted down ones, because I don't count those. Those are a bit of a cheat. The smallest multi-purpose room has 25 chairs assigned to it. The biggest multi-purpose room has 279 chairs associated to it. Outdoors, we have a rotating system of over 850 chairs that kind of come in. They're constantly being repaired. And then we have a bunch of office chairs. So we're looking at somewhere between, I guess, 12 and 15,000 chairs.
Yeah.
And every day, at the end of the day, they got to get stacked.
Oh, my goodness.
They got to get stacked up because no one's helped me with the stacking of the chairs, you know.
Right.
I got to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of big events, I know we just had the Jesus is My Quarterback Super Bowl event that, you know, where we screened the Super Bowl in the gym, and you had a lot of chairs set up for that. And I guess that's kind of your Super Bowl too, isn't it?
Oh, no. People enjoy the Super Bowl. I think that, you know, that was why I wanted to come on was because I walked in there after the Super Bowl watch, and I just dropped to my knees, and not in a thankful way. I saw the task ahead of me, and I thought, what? Why has this been put on me?
Oh, I see.
Why have all these chairs? Not a single one was where it should be. I found chairs from the Purple NPR in there. I found chairs from the Quiet Timeout. I found carpet squares from the preschool in there. They have to stay in the preschool, but they're in... And I had to go down and put them back.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was exhausting. I'm still getting out from under that. I know the chairs don't affect anyone else. But I'm just pleading to your listeners. My life is being ruined. I've lost my wife. I sleep 3 hours a night. I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so I'm just asking as a man and as a human being, please, if you just, you know, stack the chairs, just put them in a stack.
Okay. And I hate to bring up a sore subject, but I guess I will. Did you ever let the police or anyone know about your wife missing? What sort of precipitated her going
they
missing?
Wanted me to come down and talk to them, and I said, where's the time, detective? And he was like, I would think this is important. I was like, it's very important to me, but I'm working. I can't. Is there a form? He's like, no, you got to come down. And so I said, I gave him the information I had. She saw a raccoon in the yard, and she went outside to look at the raccoon, and I never saw her again. That's what I know, okay? She didn't pack anything. The car is still there.
Okay.
Wow.
So I don't know if the raccoon was involved or if the raccoon was like a honeypot to lure her out. All I know is she's gone.
Well, raccoons are an animal that does have hands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they dunk their food in water. They seem relatively sophisticated. I'm always a little suspicious of an animal who uses its hands, like human hands.
Oh, yeah. Always just touching and feeling. This is a funny thing. One time when I was sailing with Eugene, he caught one of these raccoons and he hid it in my footlocker in my cabin. So when I opened the thing, the little thing jumped out. And I swear to gosh, he put his little hands right around my neck. That raccoon tried to choke me out.
Oh, my gosh.
Tried to strangle me.
Oh,
and I mean, it was funny at the time. Anyway, I took it. It went over.
You tossed it overboard?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how you deal with problems when you're a merchant marine.
Vermin. Well, I'll tell you what. To be honest with you, Al, I'm going to tell you the truth at the bottom of my heart is a lot of times when I see these stackable chairs in these multipurpose rooms, I feel intimidated. I feel overwhelmed because they have such a heavy metal base on these chairs, a nice cushiony, seat for your rump to go on. But I feel like I could get 2, 3, 4 is going to maybe start hurting my middle back. And then also I feel intimidated by the roller thing that you stack them on. And I just feel like that's going to hurt my back. I'm going to trip on that thing. This is going nowhere good. And honestly, I'm at the age where, like, when you get injured nowadays, you're down for 6 months. You know, you end up in PT.
Yeah, I hear you, Hallie. And you know what? I actually, what you're saying to me is something I hear a lot. Oh. And I think it's a sort of like a little bit of a misunderstanding of my industry, of the chairs, right? You're operating under the assumption that you have to pick up all the chairs at the same time. A lot of people operate under that wrong assumption. What you can actually do, and this is something that you learn through experience, is you pick up one at a time and bring it over, right? So you don't have to pick it all up like Hercules. Okay. You go one at a time, and then one at a time. Those bases, by the way, are so heavy because we kept running into trouble when we used to do the Shrek movie nights with all the teens. They would get so riled up by that ogre, they'd start hucking the chairs at each other and just throwing them all over, just all this pent-up teenage energy, and we had to, like, we gotta weight these chairs down because too many teens are getting all tripped up.
Now,
right.
I mean, and I hate to get, you know, I hate to give you a note or a suggestion on your job, but have you ever thought about that maybe because you're moving the chairs one at a time all the time, that that's what's taking you so long,
that's
and that's why you're only getting, you know, a few hours sleep and no time to eat?
I hope this doesn't come off too aggressive, Gray, but I don't think you know the shit you're talking about with the chairs, okay? Because they are heavy. Hallie's got it exactly right. And I'm not going to sacrifice my body for that. So you got to do it right, and you got to do it one at a time so that it's right. Because I'm picking up 4 chairs. Okay, here I go. Oh, my back hurts now. I'm pulling something out. I trip. I'm dead. All right, I put him in the thing wrong, and it topples over me. I'm dead. All right, I just bend over. I go for that 5th one. I don't know what happens. The blood vessel, I'm dead. All right, that could all happen just like that. So I'm careful. You do it one at a time. You stack it up. In a civilized society, everyone goes, and they respect that, and they help that. Because it's a community.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I just was, you know, it was a suggestion, but I just don't know if the chairs are going to, I'm not sure if you're going to be dead. I mean,
well, Al, know a lot of the, what's it called? Comorbidity things that go on have a lot to do with sleep. You know, you get high blood pressure or whatnot if you're not getting enough sleep. Now, are you one of these people that only needs a few hours of sleep? Because, I mean,
no.
I'll tell you what, I feel great on 10. I need about 8, 7 I can live on, but usually get 6 and I feel like garbage. I mean, are you one of these people who just doesn't need it?
No, absolutely not. Doctor told me I need 12 hours of sleep
night
just to sustain.
Oh no.
12 solid hours, and I'm getting 3.
Well, could you talk to your supervisor and talk about some work-life balance?
I would love to. I've got ticketing to talk to her, and it's just, my number's just not coming up. There's just the facilities are so big, and there's so many of us with our own little fiefdoms here, and I'll be honest, I get it. Some things take precedence. You know what I mean? Those beautiful glass doors in the front, you got to keep those clean. All those little grubby hands on it, those birds, you know, we have the bird problem where they just keep smashing into it and leaving a bird print on there.
Right.
Those take priority over the chairs. Uh-huh. I've tried to get someone else hired on, but they tell me it's just not in the budget.
Oh, no.
And they say, they're just chairs. They're just chairs. What are we going to do about it? And then they'll be like, why don't we bolt them all down? And I'm like, God, no, don't bolt. No, because then it's not a multi-purpose room. It's a one-purpose room. The whole purpose of a multi-purpose room is you can do different things, you know?
Uh-huh, that's true.
You know, Al, I'm just going to give you another suggestion. I hate to tell someone how to do their job, but...
Last one was bad. Great. Last one was bad.
Well, have you ever thought about maybe getting a few of the volunteers to help? Because it seems like, you know, stacking chairs couldn't be like that technical. Maybe a few of the volunteers could help.
I'm sorry I jumped down your throat. That is a good idea, and I have tried it. 2, 3 chairs in, they go, I don't like doing this, and they leave. Without a doubt. I've probably gone through, I wanted to volunteer, I wanted to do something like fun or helpful, and they come like, we're stacking these chairs. They get one look at that post-Super Bowl watch party. They're like, no. I've seen people forsake God once they saw how many chairs I was asking them to stack. They said it couldn't be. No just God could exist.
Wow.
And they walked away from the church.
Whoa, oh no. And your job is important.
And that has to be difficult for you in your faith walk if you've got people, you know, renouncing God to your face over your very occupation.
Yeah, well, I believe that he only gives you the challenges that he knows that you can overcome.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you're like a modern day Job. If you read Job in the Old Testament, you know, God, killed his whole family and his children and his livestock and pestilence on his land and covered his body with sores. And it kind of seems like maybe this.
I would give anything. I would give anything for those things to happen to me. Just for a break from the chairs. I don't think you fully understand. It's just chairs. If anything different would make me so happy.
Is it that stacking chairs can be somewhat tedious and not to disparage your job, because as I think we're seeing and learning here today, it's a very important job. It's the impression that people get of our Heavenly Father. It's their ability to like feel welcome in this place in the house of God and all of that. But if it is a little tedious and time consuming to stack chairs, what if we have these great sound systems in all these rooms? What if we cranked up some great Christian rock or put on some Hillsong while people were stacking them? You kind to get a little groove in your step, and can we pep it up like that?
Here's the other thing. I don't think on its face that's a bad idea, but I can tell you what's going to happen there. The second you start pumping in music and things people enjoy, they're going to start moving their body to that rhythm a little bit. They're going to stop paying just 2% attention to the chairs. And the second you do it, the second you stop paying attention, even 2% of those chairs, you know what happens? That's when you die. Dead. Absolutely. That's when they get you. They just wait. It's just like they know.
And maybe God did have your wife run away to give you... I mean, you're saying that the chairs are your only focus. Have you ever thought that maybe your wife running away was sort of the Job thing that you needed to sort of get your mind off the chairs, but you're unwilling to...
Are you just jumping to the assumption that she ran away? I told you she went outside to look at a raccoon and I never saw her again. I didn't say a darn thing about her running away.
I think she was abducted.
Well, I'm just thinking about if you hear this much about chairs in a day, you might want to go, hey, I've got to run away.
Excuse me.
That was a lot about chairs.
If I might give you a word basket of encouragement, Al, you have been so patient with me through the years, and I just want to thank you for it, because I've been on a journey with my office chair. And first I came to you and I said, Al, I want you to take away my chair because I'm going to do the standing desk thing. It's supposed to be better for your health and your back. You told me right then and there, you said, this is a terrible idea. You're going to come crawling back to me begging for your office chair, which I did. Mm-hmm. Then I got into the phase where I wanted to sit on one of those big balls to work on my core strength. Mm-hmm. You had a very strong reaction to that, even when I suggested getting the one that kind of had a little seat on it, those balls.
Unstackable. That's why. What happens if you want to get that out of the way? You're going to take a bunch of those big bouncy balls, put them on top of each other, like a snowman? Absolutely not. It won't work.
It would be like dodgeball with the teens.
That's why I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if a teen sees a chair they can throw, they're going to. A teen just loves to throw a chair, and a ball like that, you're asking for trouble.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Shrek 2, someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, I like my chair now. You got me a good one. It swivels. It turns all the way around. It's on wheels. It's got comfortable. It leans back. You were right.
That means a lot to me, just to have someone appreciate what I'm doing like that and have my input on the chairs mean something to you and have an effect on your life that...
It's really
bad. I just don't hear that a lot.
Oh, well, thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
Since we're on the subject of chairs, which we can't seem to get away from, I did want to ask, what kind of chair does Steve have?
Head Pastor Steve.
It's a beaut.
Really?
It's a nice chair. The highest back chair you've ever seen. Normally, that would make the person sitting in it seem small. He fills it up. There's in the church charter, Steve's chair is... contractually has to be the highest backed chair in the building.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Wow.
I love that.
Very nice, very elaborate, really beautiful, comfortable, hidden compartments everywhere. And this is his private chair. Not everyone gets to see this. It's one of my privileges that I get to tend to this chair when he really needs to think. He can go and he can sit in this gigantic chair and just ponder and think and think about what's best for the church. He obviously has a plainer chair just for day-to-day usage because he doesn't want to be seen as putting on airs, which is nice. And that's just your average lumbar support office chair.
Awesome. Oh, I didn't know it had little compartments in it. Yeah. I would love to know what's in there.
I'm picturing a captain's chair, like Captain Picard in the Star Trek ship chair.
Bigger.
Really?
Bigger. That's the pet of this chair.
Wow.
This chair, it just goes so up, built right into the ground, compartments everywhere, secret little buttons and toggles, and I don't even know what they do. This chair, it's a mystery to me. It's a beautiful work of art. It's incredible. And I don't know what's in those compartments either. Steve, that's the one. I don't touch it. Steve tells me not to touch it. Made it very clear if I did, it would be bad. I don't touch it.
Well, I mean, it's probably like, because Steve knows the president, and I bet he's got all sorts of things. I bet, he speaks at the National Prayer Breakfast every year. I bet it's one of those things where he could push a button and talk to the president or something. Actually, maybe he could, help you find your wife that ran away. walked away.
I don't think she ran away. Great, and I wouldn't want to put that on him because that's not his job. He has his job and he does it well. He's not need to worry about my problems and my wife, who was tricked by a raccoon into some sort of kidnapping situation or got befuddled and lost, which is also possible. She didn't run away again. She would have brought something. I still carry her ID around in case I see her. I can go, you need this if you're going to drive.
Now, how do you feel about thrones? I feel like I don't understand the history of thrones. It just seems like a glorified chair. Are you into those things?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, I can give you the history of chairs. You have to go way back to get to those thrones. So originally, chairs started because people were tired of sitting on rocks. And they said, let's make something that's more comfortable. And so they started developing tools to chisel out wood and stone into being something to hold your tush in your arms. And then they said, I need a back, too. And so then they put that on there. Cut to a few hundred years later, and someone's going like, I'm better than that guy. I want a bigger chair. And we got in sort of this chair arms race. And then the first real throne, I think we can call it, was made of skulls. It was a different time.
Oh, wow.
You could do different things. And so they made this particular king made a throne of skulls that really let people know of his own power. And it was a nice, broad-backed, big, kind of high armrested chair up on a pedestal. And people said that. I was like, that's great. I love that style. I love that aesthetic. And then that started spreading to other materials that people used for thrones. I'm nuts for a throne. And one of the things I like about thrones is that any given throne, there can only be one, right?
Yep. Right.
So you can't stack it. No one's ever heard of, like, look at these two thrones in the same room. That'd be stupid. That's not a throne, then. It's just two big chairs.
Mm-hmm.
There can only ever be one throne. And I love that idea.
It kind of like Christ, right? You know, Christ is in his throne, and there's not a second Christ.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of the story of Job, that story starts out with God sitting on the throne in the throne room of heaven,
mm-hmm.
and Satan coming in for a little check-in, being like, what's happening? And God's like, you've seen how much this guy Job loves me? And then they start to talk, which you don't think about Satan and God talking very often, but it's cool to picture God taking a load off and having a seat.
That's exactly. And you know what? That whole conversation, I guarantee how it happened.
What?
God's in his throne, and he's got a real cozy chair right there that Satan said they never would have gotten to chatting like that if they had to stand shift around.
Uh-huh.
It would have been a really surface, how have you been, what have you been up to? But because they were able to get comfortable in this non-scuffed, properly cared for chair, they were able to really come up with some stuff and have this real deep conversation. That's the sort of interaction that chairs can give us.
Right. And imagine all the chairs you've got to stack in heaven. I mean, there's probably a lot of chairs in the throne room of God. I mean, you know, I guess I was just kind of, you know, just trying to...
No, you're right. You're right. This will never stop. Even, of course, there's chairs in heaven and hell. What's the difference? What's the difference if there's knees, then there's gonna be chairs. So then, what's the difference between heaven and hell if there's chairs in both?
I mean, I didn't want you to get that. I guess I wasn't trying to get us that deep. I was just trying to, you know.
Great. What's the difference between heaven and hell if chairs are in both? That wasn't hypothetical. Please answer my question.
I mean, well, you know.
What's the difference between heaven and hell if there's chairs in both?
In hell, they would be the folding chairs. You know, the folding chairs that they slip and slide. They fall down. They're metal. They're uncomfortable. They're hard. They don't stack. You know, they can only stay on their feet up against a wall. I mean, feels like hell
so
to me.
Just for my present. So, Hallie, what you're arguing is the only difference between heaven and hell is the quality of the chair.
That might be, yeah. I've honestly never thought about it.
Ugh. Ugh.
You all right?
Yeah. I just got some thinking to do, I think.
Al Burney was played by Alex Ferney. He is such a great writer and director and improviser. It was so fun to play with him. Follow him at Ferney, Alex. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.